kids. Do you want to come on down the front? While you're coming down the front, there's a couple of quick ones for you. You ready? I'll keep them for another day. I'll hold you in suspense. I'll hand over to Ange.
Hi, it's a small group today. Come in a bit closer. Oh, JJ, you're hiding. You're hiding. Okay. Last week I learned from you guys, and Ollie, who's not here this week, sadly, that putting on clothes that the disciples wore who followed Jesus around wasn't what made me a disciple. What was it that made me a disciple? Kelsey. When you follow Jesus. All right. So I did some research. And I found out that the word disciple in the Greek, someone will probably correct this pronunciation, is mathetes. Is that close enough? Close enough. Okay, mathetes. And what it actually means, part of its meaning, is a learner or a student. Okay, so if I'm going to be a student, I think to follow Jesus, I think I need to read books. This one. This is the first and most important book that I need to read to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a learner, okay? But there are people who have written other books. They themselves are learners and students and disciples, and they're smart people, and they've dedicated their entire lives, and they've written other books. So to be a student of Jesus, a disciple, I need to read other books too, right? So this one, Christian Theology by Miller J. Erickson. So I reckon I could take this home and read it this afternoon, do you think? I couldn't read the whole book. I'm sure I could read the whole book. Maybe not this afternoon. How about this one? The Gospel of John, an Evangelical Commentary by George A. Turner and Julius R. Mante. Is this a good one, Donnie? Apparently. All right. Okay. And I've got, it's just called Mark. Short and sweet, Mark. R. Allen Cole. It's also a commentary. So, I'm a disciple of Jesus and I'm getting to know Jesus by learning about him, right? So that people know that I'm a disciple, what I'm going to do is I'm going to carry books around with me. All right? That's how people will know. I don't know how to work this anymore. All right. So now everyone who sees me will know that I'm a disciple. No? No? Okay. No, I'm with you. I get it. It's not enough. So now everybody who sees me will know that I'm a disciple, right? Don't you think? Help me get them out. Come on. Better get the books out. How many books? No, don't count them. That takes too long. So, hang on, stop. What does that say?
If you love each other, everyone will know that you are my disciple.
If you love each other. Hang on, stop. Stop, because I think I'm on the wrong track. Disciple is a learner. Learners read books. People will know I'm a learner if I carry books. But John 3:35 says something different. If you love each other, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Not if you carry books around. Do you know, you think it's harder to love each other or carry books around? It's harder to carry books around. This is good. I like this. Okay. So if I don't need to carry books around, let's put them all back in the box. And maybe you can take them away. Okay. All the books go back in the box. Oh, look at Joe. Oh, whoa. Sorry, Donnie. I will check these books for damage. That might have been important, you think. That is not one of the books. Raelia by Lynette Nonne. Thank you. All right. Can we get it? Can we get it away then? I have to say, I'm actually really relieved that carrying all those books around is not what will tell everyone that I'm a disciple. But I have a feeling that loving each other might not be that straightforward either. Anyway, let's go upstairs into KL Kids and learn more about learning more about Jesus.
Bruce is going to come and bring us the scripture reading this morning.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Just before we get into that, I just want to reflect a bit on what we've done this morning. How good is it for you to know that you are chosen? You are chosen by God. You are loved by God. You are redeemed by God. You are forgiven by God. You are who God says you are. And that's a better picture than a lot of the time we think of ourselves. I don't know about you, but I beat myself up quite often. But if I would be listening to my Heavenly Father more often, I would stand straighter, stronger, and better if I truly walked in who God said I was and who God says I am. And in that last song we sang, on your word is a sure foundation. I will live my life on your word. They're good words, not just for us to sing or carry on with, but to grab hold of and let them sink deep into our very beings so that we might know this. Because we live in a world where will tell us different things all the time. They will make us doubt who we are. They will make us think we're not worthy. And sometimes our own thoughts and history will teach us that as well. Today we're starting a series on the Lord's Prayer. And normally you start the Lord's Prayer with Our Father, who art in heaven. And we're going to start going back a little bit with the little prelude that I'm calling it from verse 5. But as we go into this time of prayer, what is prayer, the Lord's Prayer? Why did Jesus teach us this prayer and what is it about? I want to get us started by a little bit of a conversation to start with. So who here has a prayer life that they're 100% happy with and kicking goals and thank you very much, Donnie, I really don't need to be here. Put your hand up. Really? None of you? Really? Wow, I think a lot better than you think of yourselves. Many of you are awesome prayers. I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I send out a prayer request, I know there are lots of people who are praying right then and there. So you sure? All right, well, let's go a little bit deeper into that. How do you pray? What's the best way for you to pray? Do you pray in bed? For me, that's not a real good way to pray. Because it's often, dear Lord, and that's not praying in tongues, by the way. All right? It might get my wife to get out of bed, but it doesn't get the Lord's attention. It's not good for me in that way. But some other people praying in bed might work. Some people pray in what we're going to talk about today, a little prayer closet. They find a place and a time, and that's what they do. Others go for prayer walks. I personally love prayer walks. As long as I can stay focused on what I'm praying about and not, oh, wow, that's a nice car. Oh, wow, look what they've done to the, you know, you get sidetracked. So how do you pray? Because the Bible says a number of times in this passage, a little word, and it is what? Who heard it twice? It's when you pray. Did you hear that? So Jesus is saying when you pray. Not if you woulda, coulda, shoulda, but when you pray. In other words, there's an expectation from Jesus that we are to pray. That we should pray. We need to pray. So we're going to unpack this a little bit. For me, one of the good things with the modern world is the way you can do devotions. I love the fact that a smartphone can carry 14 different versions of the Bible, 5 different commentaries, and a prayer list all in the same place. So wherever I go, I can be Smith Wigglesworth and say, whatever I do, wherever I go, I have the Word of God on me. He was known to have carried the Bible everywhere he went. So he was ready in season and in out of season to share the gospel with everybody. And so it's great. Whether I go up to the hospital, whether I'm in the school, I can open up my trusty phone and go straight to the Bible. Or I can have a look at a text message I received this morning encouraging me in walking in God, which I'll come back to in a minute. So it's a great way to do it. One of the devotions that I do is from the YouVersion. You've heard me talk about it many times. And for me, it's gold. It's incredibly impressive for me to be able to share this with you at the moment, because today is my 650th day in a row according to my devotional. It gave me little sparkly things as I opened my devotional this morning and said, congratulations, Donnie, 650 days in a row of meeting with God in this way. That's cool. Good on Donnie. Right? He's praying and he's reading the Bible. It holds me to account. How many know I'm a bit competitive? I'm going for 1,000, I'm telling you. I want that 1,000. I want to see what little thing it does when I hit 1,000 days in a row. You know, that works for me. Some of you go, I couldn't care less, really. You know, if a little thing on my phone says, well done, Donnie, you know, whatever. You know, but it's just pixels. It's not the Word of God flicking through the... Oh, Paul. But for me, it's exciting to see that flowing through. Now, when I do my devotions, sometimes I flick a little bit, like you can do when you're reading through all the Kings in the Book of Chronicles, which is one of the parts I'm in. Oh, there's Asa. Yeah, he was a bad boy. Yep, next. And you go through it a bit, but this week there was this really good story in devotionals, and I grabbed hold of it, and it said about grabbing 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the part about love, and to take the word love out and to put your name there and do that as a devotional. And they told this story about a missionary who did it. It was just brilliant. And I thought, that's good, but just because this thing's telling me to do it that way, I thought, no, I'll change it up a little bit. I'll put Cynthia's name in there and see how far through the devotion I'll go. So with it, it goes, Cynthia is patient. Short prayer time today. The idea is to get through the whole of 1 Corinthians, all the way through. Honey, you can... Anytime you want to preach, you can come back and... So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's serious. It's a great way to do it. If you go through, Donnie is patient, Donnie is kind, Donnie is... And just go through all the way, and it's a great way to do it. And it helps you to just go, okay, am I patient? And if you can't get through patient, then you have a prayer time about being patient. And then the next day you come, Donnie is patient, Donnie is kind. Oh, okay, I'm not getting far today either. So it's a good way to do it, but there's many ways that we can do these ways. And today's Bible reading is an incredible way for us to do it. Now, it's interesting that Ange did all her books today, because I've got some books today as well. And the interesting thing with all these books, these are all just commentaries on Matthew. There's the preacher's commentary, which if you use that as the message for today, it's going to last like 3 minutes. There's not a lot there about today's passage. And the 100 days in the book of Matthew, there's only about 5 minutes in that one too. So I'm reading all these books trying to find out all the good stuff about this passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Surely there's some good stuff in here that I can come and bamboozle these great people with and help you and encourage you in your walk with God and your prayers. But it was very simple and very basic, and I'm thinking, well, I'm spending time reading all this and I'm not getting any great bits of gold. This one was actually very good. Andrew Murray's in the school with Christ in the School of Prayer. That was very good and very helpful. But let's open our Bibles up to Matthew chapter 6 and read again. And thank you, Bruce, for reading it so beautifully. From verse 5 through to 8. And when you pray, we've already pointed that out, haven't we? And when you pray. So do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and seen by men. I tell you the truth, that they have received their full reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray in your Father. Pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Even before you ask him. It's a very cool way of understanding how our Heavenly Father. So when you pray, emphasize twice, when you pray. Don't be like, or when you pray, go into the inner chamber or the prayer closet. When you pray. It's known well that all religions pray in one way, shape, or another. As I reflected on this week, I got to the Buddhist understanding of prayer, which is because Buddhists don't have a god. It's more meditation. And I reflected on that a bit, and if that's what I had to go to when I had to go to prayer, I'm not sure whether I'd be gaining a lot of information that would be helping me. Because if my meditation is about me centering myself on me, I don't think I'm going to come up with a lot of good stuff. I don't think I'm going to be sustaining myself with great thoughts and wisdom and understanding if all I'm trying to do is center myself on me. In my understanding. But if I go into prayer and my prayer is all about God and meeting with God, then guess what? There is a lot that could happen. There is a lot I could understand. There's a lot I could learn. There's a lot I could take on board. So when you pray, and this area of prayer is not just something that Jesus is making up in Matthew chapter 6. Let's take just a short journey through the Old Testament. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 2, and you can look these up if you want. I'm just going to point out a couple of points from them. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "My cry to you, O Lord." And he goes on about how he cries out to God again and again and again. And he has that a moment where he gets into prayer and it's just crying out to God on behalf of himself or on behalf of his family or on behalf of the nation. There's so many different prayers in and through the Psalms. And a lot of them are those cries for help. Now, this morning, My mentor sent me a prayer thing. He sends me one every morning. And this one was from Psalm 32, verse 8. And it says, "I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best path for life. I will advise you and watch your progress." Isn't that cool? That's God saying to me, "Donnie, I'm coming to meet with you because I want to instruct you. I want to guide you along the best path that you can walk on today. And I will advise you, and I am going to watch over your progress. I'm keen to know how you go. I'm not just sitting up in heaven and going, wonder what Donnie's up to today. He's feeling a bit blues. The Broncos got done. What am I going to do for him today? How can I cheer him?" He's not. He wants to guide me in my path. He wants me to walk along. And that's Psalm 32, verse 8. And you can go through many of the Psalms. In the Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 8, and there's some doozies of Proverbs in around prayer as well. But this one says, "God detests the sacrifices of the wicked." Now, the Old Testament was all about the sacrifices. It was all about bringing the sacrifice. It was all about, you know, laying down your life. It was all about doing those things to get the blessing. And he says, "I detest the sacrifices of the wicked, but I love the prayers of the righteous." So again, it's about the righteous coming together and praying and being involved. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 7. We'll actually look at this one because when I found this one, it not that it was lost, but when I came across this one in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, the verses 6 and 7 are really cool because it says this: "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our pardon, God, and you will give us your freely pardon." And that's pretty cool. You go, I'm coming to God and God's going to work in my life. He's going to help me and instruct me. And even the wicked who turn from their ways can come back to God. It's good work. But here it is, if you read on a little bit further, it gives us a really good picture and helps us in this understanding of how we can pray in according to Matthew chapter 6. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Anyone realize that? My thoughts are not God's thoughts. You know? "So my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." God has a way of doing things. How many people have found God doing a different thing? "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." "Oh, not again, Lord. I was just happy with this way." But God's doing something. He wants to shake it up. He wants us to keep our eyes and our focus on him. Because if you're like me, and some of you might be, you get very comfortable in your own skin, in your own abilities, and doing things my way. And for me to live for God, sometimes my way needs to get broken. My way needs to get turned upside down so it can become God's way of doing things. And then I have to put my trust back in God and letting God do what God wants to do. Because ultimately, that's what we're about, aren't we? Disciples of Jesus, following Jesus. There's an old little Hebrew proverb that says, "Follow the teacher or the rabbi so close that you are covered in his dust." I want to follow Jesus so close that I'm covered in his dust. And that means following him in his ways. And isn't it amazing? We talk about following Jesus, and yet Jesus lived his life in a perfect example as following God the Father. Was he just a robot? "Yes, God, I will do whatever you tell me to." I don't know. How about that prayer in Gethsemane? That didn't sound like a robot praying. That sounded like, "Really, Dad? Is there another way? But not my will, but yours." So to follow Jesus is pretty cool. Let's read on a little bit more. It says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So again, it's that thing that if you're comfortable with yourself and comfortable just praying things in Donnie wisdom, then you'll get in trouble. Because God's ways are up here, and he's, what he wants to do is way bigger. Way bigger. What God wants to do is bigger than we could ever dream or imagine or think of in and through our lives. That's pretty significant. When we come across things, we take the little win instead of God going, is that what you're happy with? I've got a bigger plan. I've got a bigger way. I've got bigger thoughts. You want to jump on board? Let's just read on a little bit further. I won't spend a lot of time in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. I'm doing this one because I can, but also because it's a significant part for today. The next passage comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Now, Daniel's a significant book in the Bible. It has a lot in it. And it's also very significant today because Daniel has just turned 18. So happy birthday, Daniel. Here's a word from you, from your book. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, his God, just as he had done before. Now, if you know the story here, he was told, excuse me, he was told not to pray anymore to God. He was told that that was out. That's the new, that old way is gone. You can't do that anymore. So Daniel, what does he do? No, no, this is my pattern. This is my way. This is me following God. I'm not going to bow down to the things of this world. I'm going to go back to where I go all the time, what he's done again and again and again. So in Daniel's life, Daniel had a prayer spot. Now, you don't have to pray towards Jerusalem. Daniel did. He was in exile. His heart was breaking to go back to Jerusalem. But he prayed towards that. Three times a day, he had those prayer times. Day in, day out. Three times. And no matter what happened, he adhered to that for his life. And even if his life was in trouble. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now the word hypocrites there is one that ties into the word actors. So they put on a mask and they act out something that they're not. Hypocrites. We use it today. Hypocrites. But when you're talking about prayer, these guys are acting out the prayers. You can see them in the synagogues. And you can see them on the street corners. In all their pomp and ceremony, saying the most beautiful and elaborate prayers ever. Why? So that everyone could see them. And they would get the pat on the back and everyone would go, wow, that guy can really pray. Wow, God must be listening to him because of the way he's doing it. When did praying become a work? When did it become something we do for show? When did it become something that we do to show off? It's not in any way, shape or form. And if it is in your life, then hey, have a rethink. Because according to this passage, you have received your reward already. The pat on the back from man is all you'll get. You will not get a pat on the back from God Almighty. You will just get it from man. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather get a pat on the back or a hug or a well done, good and faithful servant from my Heavenly Father than from other people looking on going, well, that Donnie Johnson, he's a pretty good pastor. I see what he does. He prays those beautiful prayers. Sometimes you'll be in places where people will pray in ways that are so different. I got startled the other day when I was in a place and it was a prayer time and one of the guys that I know him, he's just a normal bloke like me. He talks like me. But when we got into the prayer room, it was Thy Holy Father. He just went straight into King James, who sitteth upon the throne in heaveneth. I'm going, what the heck? What are you doing, buddy? And he just went into this, and I'm thinking, do you thinketh Godeth prayeth and understandeth you moreth because you say like thiseth? Really? But we laugh at that, but I wonder how many times we play that game and say, God truly understands this because I've found this formula in prayer. And if you go this prayer plus this prayer in this way and fasting on this time and standing on my head, then guess what? God has to answer it. And it's not. When God says to us here, he says, they will receive their reward. But when you pray, again, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. The inner room, the prayer closet. You go through history and you'll see many, many stories about many, many people who have prayed in these little prayer closets. And literally, if you go through old-fashioned little kneeling blocks, as it were, and people would come and kneel, and then above it would be a little place they could rest their arms, and that's how they would pray. And some of those were actually put in closets, and they would go in there and shut the door, and they'd have a little candle. And you could read about them, Martin Luther, John Wesley. You could go through them again and again and again. They had their little prayer closets. A number of them got up to at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because that was a time when they could go and be quiet before God. Just them and God. They also grabbed pictures of Jesus getting up before the day started and going. See, even Jesus' day, when there was no social media, there was no mobile phones, there was no getting around in cars, the day got busy and they would have to go from one place to the next. So Jesus knew he needed to get up early to have that time with his Father. He knew he needed to have that time with his Father. And so he'd do it. And many throughout all of history would do those times. And they would make sure that they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So they could have that quiet space. We even called it quiet times. Remember that? Have you had your quiet time today, Bruce? Have you had your quiet time? Have you had your quiet time? Have you grabbed hold of that time with God? Just you and him. But we can have that time any time of the day. There's the well-known story about Susan Wesley, who would grab her apron and put it over her head. And that was her quiet time. And all the kids knew, and I don't know why, maybe something happened once. But all the kids knew that when Mum had the apron over her head, you did not interrupt her. You did not go and go, Mum, 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 Mum. No. I think probably Charles did it once. And the rest of them went, ooh, don't mess with Mum when she's got the apron over her head. Mm-hmm. She was an incredibly strong woman. So this part, I want to encourage us all, in one way, shape or another, to find a space to just sit with God. Be still and know that I am God. Again, from the Psalms. To sit with God. And the interesting thing it says here, I don't know if you picked it up, and it says, and your Father who knows what you need before you even ask it will be with you. And there are times, and we're going to figure this out over the next few weeks, of ways that we pray. But this form of praying is a way of just coming and being still with God. Now, as parents and as husbands and wives, we know from relationship that there is a sweet, sweet time when you can be just in the presence of people without words. It could be a loving embrace. It could just be sitting there and holding hands, being in each other's presence, and knowing that you're loved without any words being spoken. Am I ringing a bell for anyone? We know that. We've experienced it at this level in this plane. Well, God's saying, I want that with you too. Two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your very being. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. God firstly says, I want your love. I want you to know everything about me because I know everything about you. And I want us to commune together. This type of prayer that Jesus is talking about is us coming together and communing and being one with Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, with us in this little time. So your God sees you. Your God hears you. He knows you even before you pray. Even before you pray. It's amazing. He goes on and says, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of all their many words. Do not be like them. And this word babbling actually can tie into the word stuttering and being broken in our speech. You know, sometimes babble, you know, talking gibberish. And if we get to a point where we're talking gibberish to God, well, what's that about? Why would we do that? Would we think that if we do that, that that's what would get God's attention? Oh, Donnie's prayed this one prayer 47 times this morning. He must be serious. I don't know about you, but when my child comes and asks me for something, I hear it the very first time. And it actually annoys me when they ask me 47 times. Anyone say amen to that? You know? 46? Okay. 47? Bad idea. You know? And yet this is like going on and on and on and on, thinking that God will hear it that way. Because we've used many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty keen to get into that little prayer closet and sit there and be known as I know. I want to get to know God more. I want to just to be quiet in his very presence and commune with him. And this is what Jesus is saying to us in our prayers. When we pray, this has to be the foundation of where we lead off in prayer. It's no good going into the other things that we talk about in the Lord's Prayer unless we know God. Does that make sense? It's no good coming before God with a list of things that we want to pray through if we don't know the God that we're talking to. Does that make sense? Because sometimes, just being in God's presence can be enough. And the Father can say, yes, my child, I know. I can feel your heart breaking for this. I know what's on your heart. Because I chose you. Because I love you. Because I want to be with you. In the top 10 commandments, it says, no, have no other God but me. God doesn't want us to have other gods or other idols. He wants us to be number one. And so to come alone and say, God, I don't come to this prayer time to bring my list. I don't come to this prayer time to demand of you to do stuff in my nation. I come to this prayer time just to sit with you because you are the number one priority in my life. And then out of that comes the prayers for our nation. Out of knowing God comes the prayers for our community. Out of hearing what God would say, because his ways are bigger than our ways. His thoughts are better than our thoughts. I don't want to do things Donnie's way. I want to do things God's way. And how do we know that? By sitting in God's presence to hear him tell us his ways, his plans, his strategies. Instead of us coming and telling God, hey, I don't know if you know this, God, but if you do things my way, this is going to be a pretty cool place. Has that ever worked for you? Doesn't work for me. But if I can get into that time and actually hear what God wants to say, things can change. Our community can change. Our loved ones that are walking away from God can change. Because you know what? God loves them as well. God wants to spend time with them. Let's pray. Father God, if there was a moment in my life that I would feel not much, it would be now. My head is pounding, my throat is sore. I could start my prayer with, woe is me. My body is broken. I am weak. I am feverish. But Father, I know in our weaknesses you are strong. It is not by my strength or by my power, but by your Spirit that things get done. And so, Father, in our brokenness, in our weakness, in our shame, we come and we embrace you because you want to embrace us. Lord, love us as you do. But may it break through the walls in our hearts. And we may know without a shadow of a doubt that we are chosen, that we are redeemed, that we are set free, that the power of sin has no strength over us, that we can walk great in victory because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you love us, you sustain us, you guide us, you want to lead us foot, by step on every day of every week of every year of our lives. So, Father, I pray this week you would challenge us to grab that spot, to maybe get up a little bit earlier, or maybe stay up a little bit later. What a great thing to do, Lord, when everyone else has gone to sleep, to walk around and let your love flow into the place as they sleep, to hover in, over those that live in our houses, they that we love, that you love. Not out of a necessity to pray for anything specific, but just that as they sleep, they would know the love of God Almighty, and they would wake refreshed and knowing that they are chosen, that they are special in God, that he has great plans and purpose and ways and strategies for their lives. Father God, thank you that you call us to a point just to be with you. May we do that more and more every day. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.